Okay, just a quick review, guys. Jehu is the king, the new king of Israel. He has murdered Joram, an instrument of God's judgment. Ahaziah, the king of the south, or the king of Judah, the nephew of Joram, also slain. So the king of Israel and the king of Judah simultaneously have been taken out. That kind of put the nation of Israel, the whole nation, in a tailspin, you can understand. And so we've dealt with Israel and the judgment and the thorough, systematic killings of Jehu. But now in chapter 11, we go back down to the south, the king of Judah. What plays out here? Verse 1, it says, "And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. And Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years, and Athaliah did reign over the land." Okay, let's pause there. Athaliah, you got to know, if you don't, she's the queen. And she was queen during the entire reign of Ahaziah, the mother of Ahaziah. Her son is dead. You know, this lady, Athaliah, if you know your Bible history and your Jewish history, this is the daughter of Jezebel. You guys remember Jezebel, right? What a ruthless, murderous woman. And she has discipled a daughter that is exactly like her. And what is told to us here, guys, is historical. It's accurate. Outside the Bible, there's evidence of this. The queen of Israel begins to murder, yes, her own grandsons. If you got grandbabies and you're here tonight, you think, what in the world would possess a woman to do that? How could she be so cold? How could she be so evil? Well, what does the Word of God say about that, guys? First of all, she's really concerned with her position. Power and position has consumed this woman to the point where she doesn't care about anything else about except her role, her notoriety. That's scary. Secondly, she is an avid worshiper of Baal, and the zeal of her belief system, the religious zeal of the worship of this false god, is also part of this murderous drive. But having said all that, guys, that's the human explanation. You need to know this. This is a satanic attack on redemption. You understand that? Because the royal seed happens to be the remaining family members of one King David. And now the whole thing comes into focus, doesn't it? Now you understand this evil plot to destroy and murder all the descendants of King David. Why does that matter? Why is that such a big deal? Well, only the validity of God's word, that's all. Because God said to David, a relative of you, David, an ancestor of you, or excuse me, a seed from you will never cease to be on the throne of Israel. See, God promised that the Messiah, Jesus Christ himself, would come into this world through the seed of David. So you see this political pawn, this queen, Athaliah, she is ultimately an instrument of Satan. And there is a very evil attempt to undo God's word, God's promise. The cool thing is, there's this one lady, right? This one lady, be the auntie, who understands this, I believe. I believe this is an act of faith. And she runs into that palace during this time of execution, and she rescues Joash, this lady Jehosheba. She rescues him, and she hides him, and she brings him right to the temple. And by the way, the temple at this time, brothers and sisters, was abandoned. It was the priest. The people weren't going there. The people were largely worshiping at the temple of Baal. So made, unfortunately, because of that, a very perfect hiding place. So, Satan against God. And we always know who wins at the end of the day, right? Always. Verse 4, in the seventh year of Jehoiada, that's the high priest currently, in the seventh year, that is the age of this kid, Joash, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds. That is the generals of Judah's army. with the captains and the guard, and he brought them to him into the house of the Lord and made a covenant with them and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's son. That's risky. For 6 years they've been serving the queen, this evil queen. He brings them into the temple and he enters into a covenant with them. That typically means there's some type of bloodshed. Enters into agreement with these military men. Most of the military force is there in the temple. He says, guys, I want to enter into a league with you. I want a promise from all of you that you will swear your allegiance to Jehovah, to Yahweh, and his promise, and the Messiah. And they said, okay, yeah, we're with you, Jehoiada. What's the deal? And he says, ta-da. And he brings this little seven-year-old kid out with a crown on his head. And he says, this is the son that is legal heir to the throne. This is the hope of Israel. This kid right here is evidence that God has not forsaken us. God's promise still lies, and he needs to be the king if we're going to honor the Lord and his word. Well, risky, because at any point they could have said, this is treason, I ain't doing it, it's going to cost me too much. And they could have run out of that temple and exposed the whole thing. But it was effective. Apparently these men were tired of the cruelty of this king and had some sense of loyalty again left to the Lord. And they said, we're in. No doubt this kid and this king, as he was revealed, gave them hope, man, renewed their hope. You been there, guys? You've been discouraged? You've been at a point where you're like, it's just this, all of this is going to come crashing down. This is really bad. And then all of a sudden the Lord will go, ta-da! This is what I've been boiling in the background while you were all depressed. And it's like new life. Like, oh, yeah, we're still in this thing. Have you ever been encouraged and lifted up that way? I hope you have. I have recently. The Lord is so faithful to give you what you need, to give you another day of motivation. He's faithful, I can tell you that. Well, in verse 5 it says, and he commanded them, saying, this is the thing that you shall do. A third part of you that enter in on the Sabbath shall even be keepers of the watch of the king's house. That is where this young man dwelt. You're going to guard this temple. You're going to guard the king. A third part shall be at the gate of Sir, and the third part at the gate behind the guard. So shall you keep the watch of the house, that it be not broken down. So they immediately swore that they would police that campus and protect the king. And these men agreed to that. And two parts of all you that go forth on the Sabbath, even they shall keep the watch of the house and of the Lord about the king. That is to say, the fourth group would rotate in and out. So there was constant vigilance protecting this young king. You shall compass the king round about, every man with his weapons in his hand, and he that cometh with the ranges, or the ranks, let him be slain. Anyone that tries to storm the line, kill him. He's up to no good. No one has authorization to be in here at this point. And be ye with the king as he goeth out and as he cometh in. And the captains over the hundreds did according to all things that Jehoiada the priest commanded. And they took every man his men that were come in on the Sabbath with them that should go out on the Sabbath and came to Jehoiada the priest. And to the captains over hundreds did the priest give King David spears and shields that were in the temple of the Lord. Guys, picture that. You're a soldier. You still believe in the word of God. There's still a glimmer of hope in you, and you are presented with the king, the rightful heir to the throne. And I promise you that did something to the heart of those men. Historically, if there was any faithfulness to God, it was there in the south, there in Judah. If that wasn't enough, Jehoiada says, and by the way, I got something for you. And I bet he's smiling. I got something for you soldiers that I think you'll be blessed by. And again, he opens up another box or opens up another door. And they say, would you get those? He goes, yes, that's right. My men, those belonged to the armory of our King David. And so they're holding the very shields and spears that belonged to the king, the greatest king of Israel, who received originally the promise. Constant reminder, right? God made a promise to our King David. God's word will never fall to the ground void. Spears, by the way, shields, by the way, that were believed to be captured, you know, as a result of many of King David's exploits. But a physical, visible, you know, reminder, like a wedding ring, right? like a vow, like a promise, even like the Bible that you carry around. I bet that motivated those men. Well, it says the guard stood, every man with his weapon in his hand round about the king, from the right corner of the temple to the left corner of the temple, along by the altar and the temple. And he brought forth the king's son, and he put the crown upon him and gave him the testimony. That is, he put in his hand the scroll, the law of God. Isn't that an awesome scene, guys? Don't you wish we had a country that would appreciate stuff like that? God's word, God's promise, God's standard. Just a 7-year-old kid, I picture the crown kind of too big and falling down over his ears, right, personally, and a scroll, and the kid's like seeing all these big, mighty soldiers with weaponry. Hey, guys, that's what I picture. And they made him king and anointed him, and they clapped their hands, and they said, God save the king. I love that scene. They're all just rowdy men. Yeah, you know? I love it, personally. Well, look, let's what this evil broad does. Oh, I would only say that about an evil one, you know. When Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and the people, she came to the people into the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, what do you think that look was like? That's what I think. Looking around all puckered up. Behold, the king stood by a pillar as the manner was. That's what a king would do. It's where a king would be. And the princes and the trumpeters by the king and all the people of the land rejoiced. Seems like they didn't slow down a bit when she entered the room. That's right, we're clapping, lady. Don't you love this? I do. They continued to rejoice and blew the trumpets, and Athaliah rent her clothes, troubling, and cried, treason, treason! That's what I think it sounded like. But Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of hundreds and officers of the host, and said unto them, have her forthwith out the ranges. Take her beyond the ranks of the men. Don't kill her in here. And him that followeth her, kill with the sword. This murderous woman. By the way, this is justice, right? She's murdered her grandbabies. This isn't some cruel act. This is justice. This is fair. Kill her with the sword, for the priest had said, let her not be slain in the house of the Lord. And they laid hands on her. And she went by the way by the which the horses came into the king's house, and there she was slain. And Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people, that they should be the Lord's people once again, between the king also and the people. Oh, man, doesn't that make your heart do something? I hope it does. To see a nation of people that have slipped so far away from God's will, embraced all kinds of humanistic and paganistic belief systems, and the repercussions because of it, the sin, the ramifications. But then a priest, a spiritual leader to say, guys, listen, we belong to God. We belong to him. And to bring the nation back to reform and to revival. This is one of the few revivals in the history of Israel. Long-lasting revival. It stayed consistent for nearly 40 years. All the people of the land went into the house of Baal and break it down, and his altars and his images break they in pieces thoroughly. And they slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. And the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord, and he took the rulers over hundreds and captains and guards, and all the people of the land. And they brought down the king from the house of the Lord and came by the way of the gate of the guard to the king's house and sat on the throne of the kings. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was in quiet. And they slew Athaliah with the sword beside the king's house. 7 years old was Jehoash, or for short, it's Joash. You'll see him referred to that more frequently, when he began to reign. Guys, revival. You know what's interesting here? You have a 7-year-old boy. It's quite obvious that the priest was really the influence behind this kid. At this point, the kid was simply the fulfillment of God's promise. Not making a lot of commandments, but filling that role prophetically. But it's Jehoiada. And you know, it's not real clear here. But if you study this parallel passage in 2 Chronicles, you know what's interesting about Jehoiada, this priest? He is allowed by God to live 130 years old, which is longer than 1,000 years of history behind him than any other man. Why? Why did God let this man live so long? Well, you'll see this as we study this next week. We're out of time, interestingly, to pursue another chapter. But this young boy did great. He went down in the history books of doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord most of his days, almost all 40 years. But what's sad is Jehoiada does finally die, and this kid, without the influence of a spiritual leader, without the influence of the Word of God, without the accountability that came, ends poorly, practices idolatry himself. And I think there's something there to learn from. I really do. There's this crazy, crazy mindset in our country that the separation of church and state is a good thing, not a good thing. Okay, when we kick God out of our government, when we kick God out of the public, you know, square and the public sector, we see apostasy. And don't believe the lie, guys, if you are under the wrong influence or the wrong information, that the statement separation of church and state is in our Constitution. Again, do your homework. Don't just shake your head up and, okay, it is. No such thing. There is absolutely zero wording in our Constitution that suggests anything like that. But what our Constitution does say is our government will never impose itself on religion or the expression thereof. Now, God was very much involved in the beginning. I'm not saying everything was done right. I'm not saying that the early Christian fathers or early American fathers were perfect representations of Christ. They weren't. They were sinners just like you and me. And there was conspiracy and sin just like in our day. But the world sure was different back then. There was predominantly a biblical worldview, a love for his word, and morals because of it. Now, once you see God removed from this system here under Joash's reign, you see immorality. You see apostasy. Can't kick God out of any sector if we want to maintain morality. Got to include him in every facet of our life, guys. I hope that's you this year. I hope you're willing to allow God into every part of your life, your finances, your marriage, your jobs. Don't just turn on a Jesus switch on Sunday. I know this is the Sunday night crowd. But allow Christ to reign in every area of your life. I'm telling you, then you'll walk successfully. You really will. He'll use you. Well, a couple thoughts for this evening. Hopefully to start our week off right, our year off. Why don't we stand up, guys, and we'll close in prayer. We'll sing one more song, and we'll go our way. We love you, Lord, and we mean that in the truest sense. We love you for what you've done for us, your shed blood. We owe you our loyalty, our duty, and may we accept that, Lord, wholeheartedly. I pray you go before us this year, Lord, and open up doors. I pray you would help us to overcome the areas in our life that have kept us back up to this point. May we recklessly and radically obey you, Lord. Whatever aggression we need to show in removing distractions, may we do that this year, Lord. What are we waiting for? Stir our hearts. May we see you move this year, Lord, in a powerful way. And may it not be so of us that we finish poorly, but may we finish well, Lord. May we finish the course that you've given us. Bless our week, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.